Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 7th of March, recording at 7:53 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, another very interesting day here. First, let's have a look at these global stock markets. The most important point that I can make at this stage would be to say that the type of activity that we saw last month and have been seeing this month is typical behavior for a global bull market. I don't mean that markets are just rushing to the upside, but some markets are, of course, really quite strong, pushing higher. Many more are ranging or have seen ranging phases, and some of them are edging up out of those ranges now. A few, such as the European markets, have seen some moderate-sized downward reactions and are currently relative underperformers, but they're certainly not collapsing. And resources sector, if we take an underperformer, Brazil, there are concerns about government policy there and GDP and Brazil's growth, but that had a huge upward dynamic yesterday, which I mentioned. It was up about 3.8%, and it's having another very good day in here today, currently up over 1.5% as I speak. So, again, I'll emphasize that this is the sort of activity that we see during a relatively shallow corrective phase in an ongoing bull market. And I can add to that that the S&P, which we certainly watch very closely, as do many of you, has become more orderly over the last year or so. In other words, it's less volatile in terms of the reactions that we've actually seen. And that also is a characteristic of bull market activity overall. So fewer of the white-knuckled downward bungee jumps, as I've described them. Now, is this sustainable? Is this justified? Well, I think it is. I maintain that it is. And for one reason, the most important indicator of all, as far as we're concerned at Fuller Money, is money supply. And it remains very accommodative around the globe, and interest rates are really quite low. Now, accommodative monetary policy doesn't automatically mean that stock markets are going to do well. For instance, the money may be sitting idly by. People may put it all into treasury bills or treasury bonds, or corporations that find they have more cash may just sit on it overall. And there's certainly been a lot of that over the last few years. But what we have also seen over that period, what we've really seen since 1999, has been a valuation contraction cycle, a secular valuation contraction cycle. That's what I've called it for most of that period. There were times at the beginning when I would refer to it as a secular bear market, but I moved away from that. Many people use that terminology as well, but I moved away from that on the basis that it was a little bit misleading, and because we had two very dramatic bear markets, of course, in 2000 and also in 2008. But overall, we've been in a sideways trading range for Wall Street. We've seen this valuation contraction. In other words, the last super cycle bull market ended in 1999, and we have seen corrections of the excesses that had occurred during that phase. We have seen deterioration in levels of GDP growth, and we've seen very accommodative monetary policy to help to prevent this from turning into a significant deflationary slide. And we've also seen most corporations improve their management considerably on a needs-must basis. So really, we bring it back up here to today, and corporations are emerging from this environment with better balance sheets, with more disciplined management by far, with fewer overheads in terms of excess employment or loss-leading divisions. And corporations are doing very well. Now, of course, we need to see that. We need to see corporations doing well, because if we could have very accommodative money supply, but if corporations weren't making money, then the stock market could only go up through valuation appreciation. In other words, multiples would be getting higher and yields would be getting lower. Well, we've seen a bit of that since the middle of November, but if you go back to go back a few more months before the market fell down to those November lows, really most of the gains that we've actually seen really are reflecting this combination of solid corporate fundamentals, where profits are still increasing, and also this very favorable monetary tailwind. And again, it's bull market activity overall. Now, don't be surprised if we get further backing and filling, if some of these overextended indices spill over into some reactions and consolidations. But I don't see a major accident on the immediate horizon. The period that I am concerned about, nervous about, and I've mentioned this on numerous occasions, is when central banks begin to withdraw the quantitative easing. Now, there's some people who are saying that, well, that won't necessarily be a bad thing at all. I hope they're right. My feeling is that there are too many uncertainties. We don't know when they're going to start to withdraw that liquidity. We don't know where stock markets will actually be when they start to withdraw that liquidity. In other words, might they be higher or more overvalued, in which case they would be more vulnerable, or will they be near current levels or perhaps a little lower, in which case they would probably be less susceptible to downside reactions. So there are many variables there, but it will introduce some uncertainty, the removal of quantitative easing, and that is a potential stumbling block for stock markets. But it's not imminent, I don't think. And I think that we are, as I say, in the latter stages of this valuation contraction cycle. And I don't see the stock markets going anywhere near those lows that we saw back in 2008 and early 2009. And I think that a more or less bearish scenario would be a ranging phase either side of current levels. So that's not a bad outlook here overall. And I think that we will see more investors moving away from bond markets and coming into equities. Now, that's my general overall view on stock markets. Which are the most interesting? Well, I think we're likely to see another jump in Japan tomorrow because the Japanese yen has fallen to a new low in here, and that's after a ranging period. So the yen is resuming its overall decline. Against the US dollar, it's at 94.85, and it has been to just over the 95 level. That looks significant to me. The Japanese story is the most interesting one in Asia here right now. China, a lot of uncertainties concerning how they tackle pollution. We've still got this big conference going on until the 17th of this month, and not only are they tackling, do they need to tackle the pollution problem, but they're also fighting property speculation. They also want to stimulate, but how do you stimulate without also stimulating the property sector? So there are a number of uncertainties there, and I think that that may hold China in check for a while. But my feeling is that there's not too much downside risk. It's just, do we get a significant upside move in the short to medium term, or does it really see a slower rate of recovery? But I still think it'll be higher by the end of the year, and possibly significantly higher. But Japan is in the pole position. I also like Vietnam as as another leader. The markets that we have been liked a lot and have been most impressed by have been the ASEAN sector. They still look very, very attractive overall, but because they've seen little downside, they are unlikely to outperform Japan, for instance, among the majors. And to have the world's third largest economy doing better, and to have its stock market performing is a good thing for global confidence generally towards towards equities. Wall Street remains very steady here overall, and as long as the reaction lows continue to rise, and those are best monitored by looking at the S&P 500 on a weekly basis with a 200-day moving average, as we frequently show. But as long as those reaction lows are higher, then I would continue to give the upside the benefit of of the doubt. And of course, we did have that interesting and potentially quite significant Dow theory buy signal as the Dow Jones Industrial Average joined the transport index in moving to new all-time highs. Elsewhere, bond yields, they are edging upwards. Government bond yields in the West, they're edging upwards once again, albeit within ranges. And that's a generally favorable sign for equities in general. I don't like the government bond markets. The QE and slow rate of growth that we're currently seeing may well support them. The QE is the big factor in here, with all the buying by the Fed, the Bank of Japan, the Bank of England, etc. That may well keep yields low over the intermediate term, but we're talking about the latter stages of a bubble here, and I don't think we're going to see the lows for government bond yields really retested to any extent. So I would avoid those markets. I agree with Warren Buffett, who says that's the dumbest investment you can have, or words to that effect. I much prefer equities. In terms of commodities, now gold, it's been a concern for so many of us over the last couple of years or so. It's still an underperformer here right now. My own view is that gold probably has more medium-term upside potential from current levels than downside risk over that same period. But then again, it has lost a considerable amount of its previous trend consistency, so that makes it a little bit more difficult to actually predict. We have a high short position in gold right now relative to what we've seen over the last few years. We've seen a lot of stale bull liquidation from people who decided to move on to other markets. And that's gradually making gold more attractive in terms of improving its overall value, not least against some of the appreciating assets. But again, I can't make a you I can make a speculative case for having a long here in gold right now. It's a little harder to make the choice to go in and buy bullion or silver relative to the action that we're seeing in so many stock markets around the world. Now, if you look at the Continuous Commodity Index, that's CCI, if you're in the library, you'll see that although it's a little bit steadier here today, that the performance has been soft over the last couple of months, and that's a good sign generally. We don't have spikes in food prices, certainly not in staple food prices, and we don't have spikes in industrial resources. I was concerned about oil prices a couple of months ago, but they have backed off here considerably. So it's not a bad environment here overall, but the clear choice, in my opinion, from both an investment and speculative standpoint, is long positions in equities. And on that note, all the best to all of you. And I'll just add very quickly that I will be away tomorrow on Fuller Money related business, but back on Monday. All the best.